Hello and welcome to Markham Horror, a podcast about Arkham Horror the card game from Fantasy Flight Games, featuring gameplay, analysis, and bad advice. Join me, your host, Mark Maddox, for a new episode coming up next. Good evening and welcome to another installment of Markham Horror. Tonight I will be playing for you the Pallid Mask in standalone mode. The Pallid Mask is a classic Arkham Horror scenario. To me, this is one of those scenarios that just says what Arkham Horror is all about. You are in the catacombs of Paris for this one, and you have foolishly gone into the catacombs to pursue the man in the pallid mask. The man in the pallid mask is, of course, the signature enemy, I suppose, of the Path to Carcosis cycle. He is a weakness enemy who normally lives in your deck, but in this particular scenario, he is set aside until he is told to be on stage. So at the moment, he is sitting over here in the out-of-play area, waiting for me to trigger the instructions to place him on the board. I am playing the same deck as last time, Roland Banks, at 19 experience. The Pallid Mask being the sixth scenario in the Path to Carcosa campaign, I feel like 19 experience is just about balanced for this one, even though I am playing in standalone mode and I have added the extra weakness to my deck as instructed. But there is one change from the deck from last time, and that is that I have thought about some more. I thought about it how I had cover up last time, Roland's signature weakness, and cover up normally is quite a bear to deal with. It is something that comes into play. It has three clues on it. You have to clear those three clues before the end of the scenario, or you take a mental trauma. Now, normally, cover-up is a serious problem that you have to face, but in standalone mode, it is not at all. It is effectively just a dead draw. You don't have to worry about its effect. It doesn't get in the way of you doing anything. And it occurred to me that, especially deliberately choosing to run cover up instead of his alternative weaknesses, the Dirge of Reason from the Dirge of Reason novella, felt wrong to me. It felt unsporting. So I have instead chosen to use the Dirge of Reason and Mysteries Remain for his signature card. Mysteries Remain is an event that lets you either discover, either place a token bank, place a clue from the token bank on your location, or discover one clue at your location. It's a handy card to have. It is not as good, perhaps, as Roland's signature weapon. But if you're playing with Mysteries, if you're playing with the Dirge of Reason, you should be playing with Mysteries Remain and not mixing and matching. So I have chosen to play with Mysteries Remain instead of Roland's 38 special. So I have here, I have the board all set up. We will begin play at a location called the Gate to Hell, which is, exactly what it says on the label there, isn't it? This is the gateway to the Paris catacombs It is undoubtedly a pretty forbidding place. And it says here on the card, it is a one shroud location, two clues per investigator, and a forced effect. When the gate to hell is revealed, put the top two catacombs in the catacombs deck into play above and below the gate to hell. It also says in French, stop, this is the Empire of the Dead. Which, I mean, I don't know about you, but in real life, I would just stop right there. That's it. That's all I need to know. The place is called the Gate to Hell. The sign says it's the Empire of the Dead. I'm done. That's it. I'm out. But Roland Banks is made of much sterner stuff than I am, fortunately for us here. So Roland Banks is not deterred, even where I, pretty sensibly, if you ask me, would be. So I'm going to follow the instructions and put the top two cards of the Catacombs deck into play above and below. This is a scenario where instead of having a tableau laid out for you at the start, you build the board as you play. So I have the Catacombs all have the same back. The back all says, as an additional cost for you to enter Catacombs, investigators at your location must spend one per investigator clues as a group. So, it cost Roland one clue to move anywhere. So, now that I have that in play, first let me read you the scenario text here, and the act and the agenda, and then we'll draw our opening hand. So, scenario 4. Scenario 6. The Pallid Mask. If you found Nigel's abode, or if you found Nigel Engram, skip to intro 2. In standalone mode, you do skip straight to intro 2 because it's decided arbitrarily that you did find Nigel Engram's home in the previous scenario. And so we start here. The contents of Nigel Engram's home answer none of your questions about the King in Yellow, but do hint at where you should head next. The old tattered map you found on his coffee table depicts a section of the infamous catacombs of Paris. One particular room on the map has been circled with pen, and next to it is written, "The key to opening the path lies here." You swallow your fear and head immediately for the entrance to the catacombs. Act in the agenda card, Act 1A, through the catacombs. At the end of the long tunnel next to you, the stranger steps toward through the darkness, his pale mask glinting in the candlelight. "Wait," you call out. He glances your way before vanishing into the shadows. Once more, you're forced to track him down to find answers. Objective, find the man in the pallid mask. He is somewhere in the catacombs. Do not advance until you are instructed. So no clue threshold here. It's about finding him at a certain location, which takes some work. So we'll just set about to that right away. And Agenda 1A, Empire of the Dead. The dank, chill air of the catacombs penetrates your clothes and causes you to shiver. Everywhere you look, the remains of the dead greet you, a grim reminder of your own mortality. Each location is connected to each location adjacent to it. Adjacent always means orthogonally, not diagonally. So above and below, but or to either side, but not catawampus or anything. So we've shuffled the encounter deck. We've shuffled our deck. The encounter deck doesn't use that many other encounter sets from the core set, but it does use ghouls, which makes sense because you're underground, you're surrounded by dead bodies. Of course you have ghouls. This is how you get ghouls to begin with. If you don't clean up the bones, you're gonna get ghouls. You just are. But that also means that there's a reasonable supply of relatively easy to defeat enemies for Roland to get by on. And I'm hoping that he can really make a meal out of that in this scenario. And it includes Chilling Cold, which is going to have Crypt Chill and obscuring fog in it, which again makes sense. You're in a tomb, of course it's cold. And it also has the Hauntings set from Path to Carcosa in it. And the Hauntings set, appropriately enough, it has ghosts in it. So everything that you would expect to find in catacombs is right here. The only thing it's missing is rats. I can live without rats. So, all right. So we begin by taking our opening hand, and let's see what we have here. First five cards, we have Greta Wagner, straight off the bat. Okay. I will definitely take that. So, Greta, I didn't read what Greta did last time. So, for your own knowledge, Greta Wagner is a five-cost ally asset who has three experience cost. This is the level three version of Greta Wagner. You get plus one combat and plus one intellect. And after you defeat an enemy, exhaust Greta Wagner and deal one damage to her and discover one clue at your location or a connecting location. Which should be excellent in this scenario. I mean, it's excellent regardless, but it should be really excellent in this particular scenario, particularly when paired with Quick Study, which is one of the things powering this deck. So let's see if that comes up. Second card, we get Crack the Case. Good, very good. Play after an investigator discovers the last remaining clue at your location. Investigators at that location gain a total of X resources distributed as you wish. X is that location's shroud value. So you get all the clues off of a location, you can cash in. Deduction, always good. If this skill test is successful while investigating a location, discover one additional clue at that location, and it has one intellect tip on it as well. So that could be very useful. Ever Vigilant, wonderful. Ever Vigilant, zero cost, one XP guardian asset, or event, what am I saying? Which allows you to play up to three assets from your hand, reducing the resource cost of each by one. So it's very good for getting a fast start if you can manage to get that out. And our last card is another copy of Crack the Case. Okay, it's very clear what I'll do here is I keep Greta, I keep Ever Vigilant, I throw the other three back. Okay, what do we get to replace it? Well, the Dirge of Reason. Well, we don't get that because that's a weakness. Burning the Midnight Oil, perfect. So when I investigate, I can gain two resources with this action. Deep Knowledge, also perfect. Lets me draw three cards in exchange for the low price of two curse tokens. And a Hawkeye Folding Camera. Excellent, 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 excellent. So this is an auspicious start here. This is more or less everything that I would like to see except for a weapon. Or prepared for the worst in the alternative. So I'm hoping that when I play Deep Knowledge and draw three cards, that a weapon is among them so that I can get a real flying start here and have that to play out with Ever Vigilant. So our first action is going to be to play Deep Knowledge. So I draw the first three cards, and there's an Enchanted Blade, and a Vicious Blow, and Forewarned. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. My second action is going to be to investigate the Gate to Hell using Burning the Midnight Oil. So I gain two resources for that. I better remember to put the curse tokens in the bag. We don't want to be cheating here. So two curse tokens go in. Also about the chaos bag, since where this is standalone mode, you had to randomly choose tablets, cultists, or elder things. And whichever one is randomly chosen, you get two of those in the bag and none of the other two. The random choice in this one was tablet. So I have 3 skulls in the bag and 2 tablets. Skulls are kind of bad in this scenario because it's a minus X. X is the number of starting locations away from the number of locations away from the starting location you are, maximum of 5. So it can go down to a minus 5, which is pretty bad. And a tablet is minus 2. And if there is a ready ghoul or geist enemy at your location, it attacks you. Okay, so. And that's not even an if you fail effect, that just happens. So it's a nice hard mode kind of thing. Okay. So burning the midnight oil to investigate here at a 3 versus 1. Shake it up. Let's see what we get here. We get a minus 2. Perfect. So we are on the board. We have our first clue. Put that there. We have 7 resources now. 1 clue. That was our second action. So our final action is to play Ever Vigilant. So, Ever Vigilant, as I said, 1 at a time, play up to 3 assets from your hand, reducing the cost of each by 1. So Greta Wagner costs 4. She's now in play. The Enchanted Blade now costs 2. It's now in play. And the Hawkeye Folding Camera costs 1 now, and it enters play. So I have a full rig. Let me place 3 charges on the Enchanted Blade. And this is the level 3 Enchanted Blade. So this one, you get plus 2 for this attack regardless. And you, if you succeed, you can choose to empower the blade and deal an extra point of damage and draw a card and heal a horror if the attack defeats an enemy. So that is the first turn in the books. We are off to a pretty decent start, if you ask me. Couldn't really have asked for much more out of that. So, cards and resources now. Take a resource, bringing me up to 1 resource. And my card is the 32 Colt. Okay. So, to recap, I have Vicious Blow, Forewarned, and a 32 Colt in my hand. I have 1 clue and 1 resource. No damage, no horror. Okay. First Doom placed on the agenda. The agenda has a 6 Doom threshold. So that is not the worst, not the best. It's long enough to get things done before before things get really scary. So, all right, my first encounter card is Grasping Hands. It's not my favorite, folks. It's really not. It is an agility test. Test agility 3 for each point you fail by. Take 1 damage. So I'm almost certainly taking some damage here. I don't mind that as much because Roland can take it. And I draw a minus 1, so I'm taking 2 damage. I can live with that. And I'm not even going to put it on Greta right now because I'm hoping that I can get more use out of her. I'm hoping that it's going to be better to just leave her undamaged for the moment, because the more damage she takes, the less you can use her special ability. Okay, so 2 damage, not the worst thing in the world. Okay, first action, investigate. This is going to be 4 against 1 this time because we have Greta in play. I get a 0, so I get this other clue. So that means I got the last clue off this location. So I put a resource counter on the Hawkeye Folding Camera. To recap the Hawkeye Folding Camera, it's a 2-cost asset. After the last clue is discovered from your location, place 1 resource from the token pool on this card as evidence. Limit once per game at each location. While Hawkeye Folding Camera has one or more evidence, you get plus one willpower. So I have plus one willpower now, so I have a four willpower, a four intellect, a five combat, and a two agility, which is quite good, actually. Quite good. All right, my second action is going to be to move from the Gates of Hell to the catacombs location below the Gate to Hell. So, and it is a narrow shaft. It is, forced. When you would move from narrow shaft to an unrevealed location, test agility 3. If you fail, take 1 damage and cancel the effects of the move. Forced, when narrow shaft is revealed, put the topmost catacombs in the catacombs deck into play above or to the right of narrow shaft. So it has to be to the right because the gate to hell is above it. So we take 1 card and put it to the right of narrow shaft. We may be backing out of narrow shaft back to the gate of hell because we might have some difficulty getting out of here safely with that agility test. So it is a victory point. It's a victory 1 location. So there is 1 victory point here. It is a 2 shroud, 1 clue per investigator location. So first action was to investigate. Second action is to move. Third action is to investigate. And we're going to be 4 against 2. I'm not going to boost this with anything because I don't have anything to boost it with, do I? And I pull out a curse. Okay. So I'm now effectively 2 on 2 here. And what do we get? An auto fail. Okay. So we don't get that clue, but we do get 1 curse token out of the bag. So that definitely could have been worse. It could have been better. But we're doing okay so far. Cards and resources in the upkeep phase. I draw Practice Makes Perfect. I have 2 resources now. So Hand Check, Vicious Blow, Forewarned, 32 Colt, and Practice Makes Perfect. Second Doom hits the agenda. That's 2 out of 6 on there. And my encounter card is The Shadow Behind You. This is a wonderfully flavorful piece of treachery here. So it is it's a treachery. It is a terror traded card, which might matter for some purposes, but not any right this second. Revelation, put the shadow behind you into play in your threat area. Limit 1 per investigator. You can spend an action to, it says, spend an action, you look behind you. Forced, at the end of your turn, if you did not perform the above ability, you must either discard all of your resources or all of your cards in hand and then discard the shadow behind you. So, it's there to sap your actions either multiple times over time or to steal away all your resources or all of your cards. Okay. I think I have a plan for dealing with that. So we begin here, and I'm going to investigate here again. This is going to be 4 against 2. And you know what? I'm going to use Practice Makes Perfect. Practice Makes Perfect. It is a fast event. 1 cost. So I spend 1 resource to do this. Search the top 9 cards of your deck for a practiced skill and commit it to this test if able. Shuffle the remaining cards back into your deck. After this test ends, if it was successful, add that skill card to your hand instead of discarding it. What I'm really looking forward to here, I'm looking for Take the Initiative, is what I hope for. So here's the top 9. And what do we get? What do we get? What do we get? Take the Initiative. There it is. their everything else on the top nine, the only other card that was a practiced skill was Vicious Blow, which I don't want right now. So take the initiative, gets committed to this test. It has three wild icons because this is my first action, and it loses one wild icon for each action that has been completed by any investigator this phase. So there's nobody else, just me, my first action, so it has all three wild icons. So that gives me three plus one from Greta, four plus three from Take the Initiative. I am five up. And we get a minus one, so we get this clue, and it's victory point. And we put Take the Initiative right back in our hand. Now, why did I look for Take the Initiative? Because I'm moving to the catacombs next door. And so to do that, I'm going to commit Take the Initiative to be four against three for this test, because it loses one. So I'm up one. Shaking. And what do we get? A skull, which is minus one because we are one location away at the time from the starting area from when this is taken, because you take the test while you're still at the narrow shaft, and if you fail, then you don't move to the catacombs. You just move, you just cancel the effect of the move and you take one damage. Well, we succeed. So now Take the Initiative gets placed in the graveyard. Listen to me. Into the discard pile. Sorry for using Magic the Gathering specific terminology there. Don't sue me, wizards. And we spend a clue to move, and we get the Well of Souls. The Well of Souls, after you end your turn at Well of Souls, you must either take two direct horror or discard two random cards from your hand. Well, that's mean. Fine. Okay. Okay, I don't mind losing cards. I do mind taking horror. So, when Well of Souls is revealed, put the topmost catacomb into play above, below, or to the right of Well of Souls. So I'm going to put it above. And so Well of Souls itself has four shroud and one clue per investigator. Oh, and because I got the last clue off of Narrow Shaft, I put another resource on the Hawkeye Folding Camera. So now I have plus one intellect from it as well. So my intellect is now at a five. I'm feeling pretty good about that. I didn't perform the action on the shadow behind you, so I'm going to lose one resource, which is the only resource I had. Discard the shadow behind you. Okay. At the end of your turn, if you end your turn at Well of Souls, either take horror or discard two random cards from your hand. Well, I'm going to discard the two random cards, and I discard Forewarned and the 32 Colt, and keep the Vicious Blow, which is about what I hoped for, to be honest with you. Okay, so cards and resources. I take a resource, I draw a card. Oh no, I drew my weakness. It is the Dirge of Reason. Place two of your clues on your location. If you can't, place all of your clues on your location, take one horror, and shuffle the Dirge of Reason back into your deck. Well, I had two clues, so I dropped them both on the Well of Souls. Not my favorite, but it is nothing I can do about, and at least I won't be shuffling the Dirge of Reason back into my deck, and I won't be taking any horror. Okay. It also means I have only one card in my hand for this next turn, and so I hope nothing overly horrible happens to me. Add one doom to the agenda. I'm now at 3 out of 6 doom, and our encounter card is a Catacombs Docent. So this is some poor crazy civilian who is wandering down here, who's gone a little bit insane from being down here too long. He has 3 health, 2 correction. He has 3 combat, 2 health, and 2 evade. You can parley with him also, test intellect 4 to interpret the guide's ravings. If you succeed, look at the revealed side of any catacomb's location in play. Group limit once per game. He does not do damage, but he deals horror. And he spawns. The spawn instruction is nearest unrevealed location. So he goes to that catacomb's location that I just put in play above the Well of Souls. Okay. Catacombs Docent isn't a very threatening enemy. The problem is there is another encounter card in this that, he can become possessed and terrible things happen. And you'll see. You'll almost certainly see. Okay, so first action. I guess we're investigating, aren't we? So, because you know what we haven't got any clues. That's what. So we're not going to be moving anywhere even without that. So okay. It is 5 versus 4. Our first one is a -1, so we get 1 clue. Okay, so I could leave here if I want to and go deal with the Catacombs Docent. But I don't know what that location is. And besides, there is a victory point on this location. And it doesn't really matter because I'm playing in standalone mode. But I kind of view the number of victory points you get as how well you did on standalone mode. Because any fool can rush straight to the end. But, you know, it's nicer if you're keeping score. So I'm going to investigate again. 5 on 4, and we get a curse. So that curse is gone, and now we're cooked unless we get a +1 or an elder sign. What do we get? We get a -3. So, okay, there are no more curses in the bag, though. So we didn't get that clue. Investigate again. 5 on 4. And we get a -4, so we're not getting any more clues from that. Okay, maybe that wasn't the best plan. Cards and resources in the upkeep phase. I get crack the case. See, now you're tempting me to stick around. We place our... Oh, and a resource. Take the resource. Leave the gun. Take the resource. And so now we are at 4 out of 6 doom, and our encounter card is a Poltergeist. A Poltergeist cannot be damaged except by spell, relic, or encounter cards. Well, Mr. Poltergeist, unfortunately for you, I happen to be holding an enchanted blade, which is excellent for removing poltergeists from your threat area. I will also say, while I'm thinking about it, that the poltergeist is a wonderfully flavorful enemy. It being a ghost, of course, you can't kill it except with magic, but it also has an ability on it, which is parley, test intellect 3 to attempt to banish the geist. If you succeed, deal it 1 damage. So you can just talk the ghost out of existence. You can just convince it to just go haunt something else, please. And it will. So, which is exactly what a civilized ghost hunter would do, if you ask me. I mean, just because you're dead doesn't mean we can't have a civil conversation, now does it? So you sit down with the poltergeist and talk it out and convince the poltergeist to move on from bothering you, which is a very civilized approach, which we're absolutely not taking right now. So, first action. Hit the poltergeist with the enchanted blade. So, I am at combat 5 and plus an extra 2 from the Enchanted Blade is I'm at a 7. If I want to save my charges with the Enchanted Blade, I do have a Vicious Blow in hand, but I think I'm going to keep it and instead just use a charge. So, 7 against 3. It has 2 health, 3 combat, and 4 evade. So, okay. Minus 1. And so, that is a hit. I will spend the charge. I will defeat the poltergeist. I will gain 1 clue because I'm rolling banks. I will exhaust Greta Wagner and take another clue, or put a damage on her and get the other clue off of here. And just like that, we have the Well of Souls in the victory display, and we're going to play Crack the Case to get an additional 4 resources because this is a 4-shroud location. And there they are, 4 resources. So to recap, I now have 6 resources, 3 clues, 2 damage on me, no horror. I'm putting a third counter on the Hawkeye folding camera, so because that is the third location that I have cleared, so it is now fully powered up, and it gives me plus 1 sanity. So Roland now can take 6 horror instead of 5, which is kind of great. So, our next action, we spend a clue and move from the Well of Souls up there to where the Catacombs Docent is. That is the Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp. Lovely. Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp is investigated using willpower instead of the skill indicated by the investigation attempt. So it has a shroud of 2 and 2 clues per investigator. So it has 2 clues on it. And it has a forced effect. When Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp is revealed, put the top 2 catacombs in the catacombs deck into play above and to the right of the Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp. Sepulchral, by the way, if you didn't know, means like a tomb. A sepulcher is, well, it's what you would find a mummy in. It is a crypt. So sepulchral means it is crypt-like. So technically, anything you find in the catacombs is sepulchral, isn't it? Because what are you surrounded by but crypts? So here we go. The appropriately named Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp. So I assume there's a lamp here. Personally, I could use a break from the darkness. And so I have this crazy-eyed old man here who is waving a skull at me and jabbering about everything that he thinks he knows. So I'm going to accept the fact that I'm going to end up taking horror from this guy. So instead of fighting him, what I'm going to do, because I can't use Roland's ability or Greta's ability to get these 2 clues by defeating him, I'll do that next turn. And instead, I'm going to use the ability printed on him and try and parley information out of him so I can see which one of these I would rather be going to once I move. So, 5 against 4. See if I get anything good. I get a 0. Okay. So I have successfully parleyed with the guy. And I'm going to look at the catacombs to the right. And it is stone archways, which is very good. Very, very good because that lets me move to somewhere without spending a clue. Okay. So stone archways is a 2-shroud, 0-clue location. And it says, ignore the text on unrevealed locations adjacent to stone archways. And so you put the topmost one to the right of stone archways. Okay, so if I go to the stone archways, I'm moving the next move is to the right and only to the right. That may mean I want to go to the one above it. Because I don't like a narrow corridor in the catacombs, because that can cause problems. So, okay. That's the end of the investigation phase. The enemy phase, he will scare me for a horror, which I will put on Greta Wagner. And upkeep, we ready Greta. We draw a card, which we get quick study. And I don't mind that one bit. So I have 7 resources, 2 clues, 2 damage on me. No horror. Greta has 1 damage and 1 horror on her. And I have 2 charges on my Enchanted Blade and 3 on my Hawkeye Folding Camera. So we put the 5th out of 6 Doom on the agenda. So next turn, this is going to advance, but not just yet. And our encounter card is the Pit Below. Attached to your location, if there is no copy of the Pit Below attached. If there is, discard the Pit Below and it gains Surge instead. Attached location gets +1 Shroud. And at the end of the round, each investigator at attached location takes 3 damage, because there's a Pit Below, isn't there? So if you stick around and you fall into this very obvious pit, that's on you. That is on you. So, okay. So that means my job is pretty straightforward here. First action is going to be to fight the Catacombs Docent. And we are going to just hit him. And that's going to be... Do I want to spend a charge, or do I want to just spend the extra action here? Because I know for a fact that there are worse things than Catacombs Docents, and I don't want to be just willy-nilly wasting the charges on my Enchanted Blade when I know that one of my weapons is already in the discard pile because I was forced to discard it by an encounter card. And the other Enchanted Blade is somewhere in my deck, and I don't know yet. So I think I can't take the risk. I'm just going to hit him twice. So 7 against 3. It's an auto fail. Oh. Okay. Fine. Or maybe I am. Maybe I am doing that. So -1. I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to spend the charge. I'm going to spend the charge. That will take out the Catacombs Docent. Roland will pick up 1 clue. Greta will pick up the other. So she has 2 damage. Roland now has 4 clues. And I'm going to use one of those clues to move to the Catacombs above. And I get a Bone-Filled Cavern. While you are investigating Bone-Filled Cavern, you have 1 fewer hand slot. Well, that's terrible. So if I investigate here, I'm going to end up dropping one of my assets. I don't like that at all. And I pay for the privilege of going there. Pay 1 clue for that. Forced, when Bone-Filled Cavern is revealed, put the top 2 catacombs into play. Below, well, there's already 1 to below, and to the right of Bone-Filled Cavern. So it is a 3 shroud, 2 clues, victory 1 location. And the victory 1 is the only reason I'm even thinking about investigating here. Because, frankly, that's bad. That's bad. I am not inclined to drop either of my devices right now. So, okay. But we have moved, so resources and cards. My draw is deduction. Well, that's nice. I think I'm going to be letting that victory point go, though. Okay. And here's why. 6 out of 12, or 6 out of 6 Doom, the agenda advances, And on the backside of the agenda is enemy. It is the specter of death. A force from beyond is the subtitle of that. It is a 3 combat, 5 health, 3 agility monster. It's a monster, a geist, and it is elite. It spawns at the starting location. It has hunter and retaliate. And while it is exhausted, it takes 1 less damage from each attack made against it. After you fail a skill test while attempting to evade Spectre of Death, it attacks you. So it has the ability, its force ability later becomes the keyword alert, but they didn't have the keyword until the Circle Undone, or otherwise it would just say Hunter, Retaliate, Alert. So it has alert, it spawns at the gate to hell, and it starts slowly stalking toward me. It has Victory 2. Which I'm very interested in that. And my encounter card is a ghoul minion. Now, isn't that polite? Okay. Isn't that polite? Way to go, scenario. See, you always come through for me. So, I'm going to kill this ghoul minion. So, I'm going to attack it. 7 on 2. A 0. That puts 1 damage on it. I'm going to attack it again. As a skull, which is -2 because I'm 2 steps away from the entrance. It is dead. I gain the clue from the Bonefield Cavern with Roland's ability. I exhaust Greta and I gain the clue, the other clue from it, and I have another victory point. And I move to the location to the right as my last action, which is a stone archway. How nice! And when the stone archway is revealed, put the topmost catacombs from the catacombs deck in play to the right of stone archways. Okay, so we have a stone archway. We have a dead ghoul. We have a specter of death that's going to move to... Let me see, which way do I want to move him? I'm going to move him up to the unrevealed catacombs because it is equally distant whether he goes to the Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp or whether he goes to that. He still ends up 1 location away from me, and I want him up on the top row instead of the middle one. So, to recap what we have, the locations in play, so far we have 9 catacombs into play. We have 1 that is unrevealed in the upper left. We have 1 that is unrevealed in the upper right. Top row is unrevealed with the Spectre of Death, Bonefield Cavern, Stone Archways, and unrevealed catacombs. The middle row is the Gate to Hell, the Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp, and an unrevealed catacombs. The bottom row is a narrow shaft and the Well of Souls. Okay. So, cards and resources. We ready, Greta. And I need to cool it with using Greta's ability because she is now 1 step away from being defeated. And I like her passive bonuses, so I'd rather keep it. And I draw Perception. Okay. Very good. Okay. First Doom out of 12. Oh. I better read the Empire of the Empire of the Undead. All around you, the eyes of skulls glow with an otherworldly hue. A ghostly voice echoes throughout the labyrinth and the labyrinthine catacombs. You sense a threatening presence looming around you. It is just outside of your vision, past the dim fog that permeates the catacombs around every corner. Each location is connected to each location adjacent to it. Okay. 12 Doom Threshold. We are now at the end of the turn, so we place our first Doom at the Mythos phase of the next turn, and we draw our encounter card, which is another Ghoul Minion. Okay. All right, now you are slowing me down. Okay. I'm going to, let's see, do I kill this guy and then move? Do I kill this guy and play quick study? Do I take an attack of opportunity and play quick study now? No, I don't think I need to take an attack of opportunity. I think instead what I need to do is spend two actions killing this guy and move. So first one, 7-on-2, skull, that's a -3 because I'm now 3 steps from the gate to hell. But that's enough. That's 1 damage. And second one is a -1. So that is a dead ghoul. And I'm going to move to the stone archway below, the catacombs. So now we reveal the stone archways that we peeked at earlier. We're in the second row. At the end of that, we get a catacombs to put on to the right of stone archways. So the top and the middle row both have 4 locations in them. The rightmost locations at the end of both rows is unrevealed. Okay. The Spectre of Death will now move to the Bonefield Cavern. So he is on the top row on the second card from left. Cards and resources here. I get another deduction, and I get a resource, which I presently have all the resources I could possibly need. Lucky me. And place our second doom on the agenda. And our encounter card is Eyes in the Walls. Test willpower 3. For each point you fail by, take 1 horror. When assigning horror from this effect, it must be divided as evenly as possible among eligible cards. Well, that's terrible, because that is something that can kill Greta Wagner if I'm not lucky here. Okay, so I want at most to fail by 1 so that I can take that. I'm up 4 against 3, so I'm up 1 now, and I get a skull, which is -2, because I'm now at the second stone archways, which means I'm only 2 steps from the gate to hell, which means that I fail by 1, so I take that horror on myself, and Greta lives to smite another day. Okay. All right. Our first action is going to be to play quick study. Finally, we have quick study in play. That's 2 resources. And I'm hoping, now that I have a surplus of clues, that I can really make use of this here at the end. So, second action is going to be to move to the catacombs to the right of the stone archways, and we get candle-lit tunnels. That's so romantic, isn't it? And so it is a 3-shroud location, 2 clues per investigator, and it has an ability, Test Intellect 3, to read an ancient sign. If you succeed, look at the revealed side of any catacombs location in play. When candlelit tunnels is revealed, put the top 2 catacombs into play to the left and to the right. Well, you can't put one to the left because the stone archways is to the left. And so we put one to the right. Okay. And I didn't even have to spend a clue to move to the candlelit tunnels because I was on a stone archways. Okay. This has no victory points on this location. It just has clues. So we put those 2 clues on it just in case we feel inclined to go for them. I don't, but you know, you never know about me. I might get up to stuff. Although in this case, I think the stuff that I'm going to get to is just to go to the catacombs next door. So I move to the catacombs that I just placed out there to the right of candlelit tunnels, and it is the blocked passage. Wonderful. Okay, Forced, when you reveal blocked passage, take 2 damage. You cannot leave blocked passage this round. Well, I don't love that, but, you know, I can live with 2 damage. So I put 2 damage on Roland. I'm stuck at the blocked passage, but I would be anyway because that's the end of my actions. The Spectre of Death moves. 1. 2. Be at the stone archways on the top row. Do I want that? I don't. I want to move him to the Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp instead. Because from the stone archways, he is still 2 locations away, but I don't want him next to that unrevealed catacombs because I'm going to want to reveal that catacombs. Okay. So, end of the turn, take resources and cards. I get Burning the Midnight Oil, which I'm getting all these investigation cards when I'm coming up on what I think should be the end of the scenario pretty soon. But it might come useful, in particular, because I'm going to have to backtrack to the Candlelit Tunnels. So I might use the ability on the Candlelit Tunnels to get to take a look at the catacombs above it. Or I might just go there. I think I'll just go there. That's being too cute. Okay, so placing the 3rd out of 12 Doom on the agenda and drawing my encounter card, I get Eyes in the Walls again. Okay. 4 against 3. Oh, no, it's not. I have quick study. I am going to drop a clue on this location. And so now it's going to be that's plus 3. So that puts it at 7 against 3. So I draw. How is there a curse in this bag? There's not supposed to be a curse in this bag. I must have just put the curse back in the bag instead of. Okay, let's try again. I got the auto fail. Okay, I should have just taken the curse, huh? All right, so I get the auto fail. That kills Greta Wagner. And puts 2 horror on me. So that's dreadful. Okay. Okay, well, that most definitely could have gone better. So Greta Wagner is gone. I am now feeling a little more mortal. And quick study didn't even help me because I drew the auto fail. Quick study, as great of a card as it is, isn't going to do anything for you in that circumstance. So there is now a clue on the blocked passage, whether I like it or not. I don't care because I'm not going to need to clear those clues. And okay, so I'm going to decide to move to the Candlelit Tunnels and then move again, spending a clue to move to the catacombs above. I'm now back on the top row on the rightmost card. It is Shivering Pools. After you end your turn at Shivering Pools, you must either take 1 direct damage or lose 5 resources. When Shivering Pools is revealed, put the topmost catacombs into play below or to the right of Shivering Pools. So I move to the right of Shivering Pools. Shivering Pools is 5 shroud, 1 clue location. Which does have 1 victory point on it. I have 4 damage on me and 3 horror, which I don't love. So I have 3 out of 6 horror and 4 out of 9 damage. So if I stop to get this clue, it's not the worst thing in the world if I end my turn here. Or I could just do the sensible thing and make haste and go to this other unrevealed catacombs just in case that this is the one with the pallid mask in it. So, I'm gonna be sensible and move to the catacombs to the that I just placed here. So I'm at the rightmost catacombs. It's a row of 5 now on top. And I get more candlelit tunnels. How pretty. Okay. So 3 shroud, 2 clues, that same test to read an ancient sign. And I put a catacombs to the right of it. Okay. All right. Spectre of Death moves to the stone archways in the middle row. Okay. Okay. Fourth out of 12 doom. Oh, cards and resources. I forgot cards and resources. And I draw, crack the case. I won't need that. That's fine though. Okay, so fourth out of 12 doom. My encounter card is the Catacombs Docent. So he appears at the nearest unrevealed location. So he's in that catacombs I just revealed. Totally fine. Totally okay. There's nothing I have to nothing I have to do right this second. So, I'm going to move to that catacombs with my first action. That spends a clue. So I now have 2 clues. And it is the Tomb of Shadows. Okay. Okay. Now, here we go. When Tomb of Shadows is revealed, advance to Act 1B. It is a 2 clue per location, or 2 clues per investigator, 4 shroud location. And advance to Act 1B. Okay. Rows of skulls chatter their teeth endlessly as you pass through a narrow stone archway into a round chamber illuminated by firelight. In the center of the tomb stands the stranger, peering into the blaze. Across the wall, shadows dance and twist with the flickering of the flame. The stranger turns to face you, and his own shadow spreads across the wall, where his shadow's arms should be. Tentacle shapes emerge, enveloping the walls in darkness. He lifts his hands toward the wall, as if trying to show you something. Spawn the set aside Man in the Pallid Mask weakness in play at the Tomb of Shadows instead of its normal spawn location. So he goes right here. He is a 4 fight, 3 health, 4 evade enemy. He is aloof, and it says investigate the investigate his investigate action. Your location gets +2 shroud for this investigation. If you succeed, instead of discovering clues, defeat the man in the pallid mask. So and again, very civilized. You can just talk your way out of the man in the pallid mask bothering you if you want to. Of course, he will come back again in the next scenario. So that's just what he does. So I now have a Catacombs Docent engage with me. I have The Tomb of Shadows, which further says, while the man in the pallid mask is at the Tomb of Shadows, he gets plus one health and cannot be defeated by his investigate ability. Okay. So we are, and further, one more thing. Kind of bad, too. Check campaign log. If Ishimaru Haruko is not listed under VIPs slain, which for the purposes of a standalone, she is not, search the collection for Ishimaru Haruko Just Skin and Bones and spawn her at the starting location. So, that version of her is an enemy with 6 fight, 4 health, and 3 evade. She has Hunter. She has Victory 0. So, you don't even get a bonus for killing her. And forced, after you deal damage to Ishimaru Haruko by an effect other than an attack, draw the top card of the encounter deck. So this punishes you for doing things, for doing tricksy things to defeat her. So sneak attack here. Hope you enjoy the top card of the encounter deck. So, but she spawns at the gate to hell. So, that is a scary procession coming down the hallway. Okay. Oh, and on the Tomb of Shadows. Nothing else is put into play. Okay, so I don't put a location into play. And I'm going to read Act 2A for you. Okay, so. The shadows cast along the bone walls shift into the shapes of several figures, acting out a macabre parody of the King in Yellow. Objective: tell us how to stop the path from opening. If the man in the pallid mask is defeated, advance. Objective: what is he trying to show us? Investigators at the Tomb of Shadows may spend the requisite number of clues as a group to advance. Well, I don't mind telling you that I have a pretty clear plan here, which is I'm going to spend those 2 clues and advance. So we advance immediately. And Act 2B says, if you spent clues to advance, recognizing that the stranger poses no immediate danger to you. Oh, wait, can I do that? Yes. It is a fast action and not an action arrow. So it doesn't provoke an attack of opportunity to do this. Okay. Recognizing that the stranger poses no immediate danger to you, you study your surroundings and the strange shadows along the wall. He takes something from the fire, and the shadows twist and distort once more, revealing a strange diagram. Mark 2 doubt in your campaign log. Remove the man in the pallid mask from the game. Advance to Act 3A, leading the way. Okay, Act 3A, leading the way. The shadows along the walls of the tomb begin to coalesce. Strange runic symbols twist into the image of a building with a tall tower, its spire reaching up toward the ceiling. Then the stranger beckons for you to follow and disappears through the stone archway behind you. Ignore the forced ability on blocked passage. Objective: if each undefeated investigator is at blocked passage, advance. Okay. So now all I have to do is get back to the blocked passage. And so, let's see. It is, after all that, that was just my first action. So I have the Catacombs Docent up here in my face. And so I'm going to now try and defeat him. And I'm going to first attack with... I'm now back to 6 against 3. Do I have anything to commit to that? I do have a vicious blow. And you know what? I don't plan on getting into any more fights than I have to. So I'm just going to commit the vicious blow. Be 7 against 3. Draw an Elder's Sign. So that's a further +2. and that defeats the catacombs docent, gets me a clue off of the Tomb of Shadows. So sad that I can't get two because of my pal Greta is gone, and I haven't drawn her replacement yet. So okay, so I'm out of luck for that. This is a victory one location. Do I try to get the other clue, or do I just? Yeah, I'm going to try to get the other clue. Okay, I'm going to commit perception to this, and commit crack the case because I don't need any more resources. And so that's three icons, and it's a shroud of four. I'm an intellect of four. That's three. I'm going to commit the a deduction to it as well. Eight against four. Ashwathi Gilder's sign again. Okay, fine. I'll get that clue. Don't mind if I do. I draw a card from the perception. It's the Hallowed Mirror. Well, might have been nice to have that earlier. I didn't. It'll be fine. Or it won't be. Whichever. So now we have to move the Spectre of Death, who will hunt to the stone archways on the top row. The Ishimaru will hunt to the Crypt of the Sepulchral Lamp. And so, to recap, there are now six locations in the top row. I am at the rightmost location, the Tomb of Shadows. The Spectre of Death is at the third from the left. And Ishimaru is on the second, is in the middle row, the second from the left. There are five cards in the middle row, at the end of which, at the right end of which, is the blocked passage. And so all I need to do to win now is move to the blocked passage and survive the Mythos phase. So I put a doom on the agenda. My card is Eyes in the Walls. Oh, I did forget to draw a card at the end of the turn as well. And I drew the thing that follows. Lovely. So the thing that follows is that is at the narrow shaft because it spawns at the farthest away. That didn't help me at all. Okay. Fine. Okay. I have four willpower versus, you know, victory points are nice and all, but I'll take surviving the scenario over that. I'm going to use quick study. Drop this clue back on Tomb of Shadows, which is going to deny me the victory point at the end. Because I can at most go up two on this with by committing the Hallowed Mirror. And I would rather put it beyond doubt. So that's what I'm going to do. Okay. So we're testing Eyes in the Walls. Four. Seven against three. Okay. No, because the skulls are minus five. So I'm going to commit the Hallowed Mirror as well to be five up. So now I will not, hopefully... Wow, am I glad I did that. I just drew a skull. Okay. Okay. I passed that. I survive the Eyes in the Walls. What are you looking at anyway? Eyes in the Walls. And so Roland does not die of horror. And so I'm going to take one shot to try and get this clue back. So four against four, I'm going to commit deduction and commit burning the midnight oil to be 6 against 4. I get a minus 3, so I don't get that clue. That's fine. I move to the candlelit tunnels. I move to the black passage. I'm at the block passage at the end of the turn, and objective, if each undefeated investigator is at the blocked passage, advance. Following the stranger's lead, you take a circuitous route through the underground passageways. Finally, you're confronted by a dead end, a tunnel blocked by an impossibly thick wall of collapsed bone and rubble. The stranger stands nearby, holding the partially charred skull he pulled from the fire in the Tomb of Shadows. "What now?" you ask, confused. He holds the skull aloft, and the floor begins to collapse into a pit of dark emptiness below. Bones and rubble from the wall fall into the pit, and it grows larger with each moment. The stranger bows, then falls backward into the pit before you can grab him. "Wait!" you call out, but it's too late. With the pit growing and threatening to swallow the catacombs entirely, you have no choice but to follow him. Resolution 2. You fall ceaselessly through the empty abyss. No air slows your descent or courses through your hair. It is a passageway devoid of reality. Finally, you pass through an invisible gateway and enter another realm. Looming above and below you are two skylines, one a warped reflection of the other. A vortex of swirling black clouds and crashing waves lies in between them. You study both sides, the familiar city and its strange mirror. Could this be the path to Carcosa? A passageway between realities where realms converge. If so, all that is left is to find where this gate appears on Earth. You fall into the vortex below. You are shaken awake by a police officer and lifted to your feet. You feel as though the weight of a train is slammed into your head. The pain is unbearable. The man shines a flashlight into your eyes and asks you several questions in French. Your eyes widen with realization, and you rest your arm free from the confused man's grip. "I have to go, at once." And there we go. That was The Pallid Mask. A pretty successful run. If this had been campaign play, I would have liked to collect a few more victory points. We got a total of 3 off of this. We got a Narrow Shaft, the Well of Souls, and the Bone-Filled Cavern. We had one more from the Tomb of Shadows, but we had to let it go in order to not get smashed by horror, because there was the possibility that that could have taken me off the board. So I don't feel bad about using quick study right there. It let me complete the scenario, which is what it's supposed to do, even if it did so at the expense of a victory point. That was a pretty successful run. I feel like the deck did exactly what it was supposed to do. And I have a feeling that while this deck might not make another appearance on this channel, it is very likely that this deck will make an appearance on my games table. Because I feel pretty confident in it. I'm posting the link on the podcast's website, which is markhamhorror.wordpress.com. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can either use that website and fill out the contact form on that site, or if you prefer to just be straightforward about it, you can just email me at markhamhorror@gmail.com, and chances are I'll see it. You can also find me about the place on Discord as HypnoNavy. And I'm in several places on throughout the Arkham community as well. You can find me on Reddit as HypnoNavyBlue. And do not yet have a podcast Twitter, although I think I may have to remedy that situation. So, until next time, thank you very much for listening. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you all, and I will catch you on the flip side.